Hello, listeners. If you're hearing this, I'm going to assume you're at least interested in money and understanding the economy and finances. And some of us want our kids to have that knowledge, too. Check out Million Bazillion, Marketplace's award-winning kids podcast that breaks down money to help dollars make more sense. A whole new season is out now. Million Bazillion is presented in partnership with Greenlight, the debit card and money app for kids and teens. Greenlight helps kids and teens learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. You can learn more at greenlight.com/million. And tune in to Million Bazillion wherever you find your favorite podcast. Oh, I don't want to do that to Charlton.
Well, you know, he's been around. He's seen some things.
He'd find a way. He would.
He can figure it out. Oh, my God. Hey, everybody. I'm Kai Rizzo. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make the day make sense.
And I'm Amy Scott, in today for Kimberly Adams. Thanks for joining us. It is Thursday, and we're going to talk about some news stories and share some Make Me Smiles and then get out of your hair. So with that, Kai, let's get to the news.
Let us get to the news. I'll go first just because I think I'm up first in the rundown. So as you pointed out, Amy, before we actually turn the tape deck on, one of my bullet items under news is Jan 6. And yeah. I just, so we've talked about the hearings before, Kimberly and I have, and maybe you and I have as well on this podcast. Today, and they, look, I think they've been doing just a really well-constructed job of laying out the facts and letting the American people see what happened. Today, though, was different because for my money, the hearing today, which had three top officials from the Trump-era Justice Department, this is the one that, in Watergate parlance, was the smoking gun. I think this is the one that took you into the White House, and these guys related conversations they had with the president, where the president was talking about using the Department of Justice to cover up or exercise the fraudulent overturning of the election. And it hit me today for some reason that this was a different hearing. So I would encourage everybody to either read up on it or watch it if you can. I'm sure it's on C-SPAN or YouTube or whatever, because it was just gripping and
yeah,
and terrifying.
And if you can listen, it's riveting. Yeah. And I've been reading the recaps because, you know, mm-hmm. often these are happening at times that I can't tune in. It's just not the same as hearing the voices of these people who were there. And it's pretty terrifying.
Yeah, it's pretty terrifying. Okay, news item number two, and this is kind of related to the moment we're in, specifically about the Supreme Court and all the decisions it's been handing down and will be handing down in the next number of days, including Dobbs, which is the abortion decision that was released in draft form a number of weeks, maybe a month or so ago. And I just want to mm-hmm. point everybody to a new survey from Gallup, which says that public confidence in the Supreme Court is at a new low in Gallup's 50 years of asking this question. Specifically, 25% of American adults say they have a great deal or quite a lot of confidence in the U.S. Supreme Court. That is down from 36% just a year ago.
Wow.
Yeah. So that's troubling because there are some really contentious decisions that have come out. And as we know, we try to be a nation of laws around here, not of people. And that kind of matters.
Right.
Here's the interesting thing, though. Even among Republicans, just 40% of people say they have a good deal of confidence in the Supreme Court. So it's not just people who are displeased with the current decisions and the current makeup of the court. It's reasonably broad-based. And that's not great. And as long as we're talking about institutions of this democracy, which we're talking about in January 6th, throw the Supreme Court in there, too. And it's kind of a bummer, but it matters. It matters. Yeah.
Well, I decided to stay away from politics today.
Fair enough. Yeah, well, it's lousy because I
had it on. Mostly for self-preservation.
Yeah, I had it on in the TV in my office all day, and so I couldn't kind of.
Oh, no, you got it. Yeah. I mean, I've been tuning in, but for today, I decided to bring, surprise, surprise, some housing news.
Ta-da.
So, you know, I'm often here with your semi-regular housing fix.
Yes.
Today, I thought this was interesting. I mean, we've been talking about how there's going to be a lot of pain in the economy before mm-hmm. things get back to anything like normal. And I think an example is housing affordability. The Mortgage Bankers Association said today that housing affordability got worse last month. Surprise, surprise, because not only are home prices still really high, but mortgage rates are much higher, close to 6% now for a 30-year fixed. And so what that means for monthly payments is the monthly median mortgage payment for an application last month was $1,897 a month, $1,897. And that's up from $1,889 in April. And just this year, payments have increased by more than $500 a month, which is, you know, real money. And the MBA, the Mortgage Bankers Association, has this Purchase Applications Payment Index, which is basically a measure of monthly payments relative to income. And that index is more than 35% higher compared to this time a year ago.
Wow.
So, yeah, affordability just, you know, who thought it could get worse? This is, of course, going to slow down home sales. It already has. And that should decrease the pressure on prices. They'll either rise more slowly or even decline in some markets. And so that'll be good news when it happens. But for, you know, for people in the market right now, it's a pretty tough time. And again, this is kind of the necessary pain to get back to a more sustainable kind of housing market.
Yeah. It's all about the monthly nut with houses, which I didn't understand until I bought a house. I was like, oh yeah, sure. You know, the house costs X amount of dollars and we're going to pay X percent. Yeah, we'll be fine. You know, whatever. It's all about the monthly nut. And until you've actually sat down to figure that out, you can't really grasp it. But that increase is just not great. Not great.
Yeah. It's one of those things where the sticker price is kind of meaningless.
Right. That's
what
exactly
you're going
right.
to pay every
yes.
month. Right.
Yes. You know, on housing, one more thing. I don't know about your parents, but I remember when my parents bought a house in 1973, they were paying like 9% interest.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And they're like, oh, God, how did you do that? It's wild.
Yeah,
wow.
But if your house costs $19,000,
It was like $38,000 house, $40,000
which is what my parents paid for their first house. I don't know what the interest rate though is. I'm gonna have to ask. But I mean, 6%, like, still historically not that bad a rate, but compared to what people had been getting, like less than 3%, it's pretty jaw dropping. So the other one is just real quick, a sort of vibe check. I saw a post from a company called SimilarWeb that I guess is like a digital intelligence platform or something. But they said internet searches of the word recession are up 77% in the past 3 months. Related searches include recession definition, up 91%. What is a recession? Up 67%, and are we in a recession? Up 67%. And I think that just kind of tells you a little bit about the American psyche.
It kind of does. Yeah. It is definitely the whole vibe thing. It is absolutely the vibe recession, for sure. People are feeling it. Yeah. And look, it's all about gas prices and inflation. That's the whole thing. The whole thing. All right, Charlton, do that thing. All right, you go first.
Okay. So I saw this on Bloomberg today. Airbnb gets a lot of blame for exacerbating the housing shortage by turning what might be long-term rental properties or homes people can actually buy into short-term vacation rentals. But apparently they're having supply issues of their own. The company has launched a $10 million fund to build, quote, the craziest places on earth. Basically, it's a competition. You can apply with your crazy idea. It'll be judged by architects and designers, and then they're going to select 100 people who get $100,000 to build their idea. And I just, looking through the ideas that are the examples that they offer to get people's juices flowing, one of them is a giant potato. It's like a 6-ton fake potato that you can stay in out in a field in Idaho.
Oh, my God.
There's a converted grain silo called the Yellow Submarine that looks pretty cool. You get $100,000. At today's prices, I was like, what can you build for that? But some of these were actually pretty affordable to create. But I was looking at this potato, which doesn't have any windows.
Wow.
So that's a hard no for me.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, thank you very much. I'm good with my white picket fence, and thank you very much. Yes.
But also I was thinking, you know, people can complain about Airbnb taking away, you know, legitimate housing for people. But I don't think that the potato is really in competition.
No, probably not. Probably not.
For a long-term place to stay. Oh, my God. Anyway, I thought that was kind of fun.
Mine, it's not so much a make me smile as a holy cow, look at that. So there's a series of pictures. I saw it in the New York Times, but they're pretty much everywhere now, of this synchronized swimmer. I guess it's called artistic swimming now. I don't even know what it's called, but it's like, you know, water ballet, whatever. Of this swimmer underwater, clearly unconscious, just drifting there down at the bottom of a pool, right? And her coach, you discover reading the caption, fully clothed, having jumped in, reaching out to save her. So this woman, the swimmer herself, had fainted doing her synchronized swimming stuff because apparently they have to hold their breath rather underwater for like up to 2 minutes while they're doing all this really energetic, crazy stuff, like, you know, going upside down and raising their legs out of the water up to their waist. I mean, we've all seen it, I think, on the Olympics and stuff. Crazy. Anyway, this woman fainted underwater and her coach, who later lambasted the lifeguards, her coach jumped in to pull her out.
Yeah.
The really amazing part is this is the second time that this has happened, that this swimmer, Anita Alvarez, has fainted before and the coach has pulled her out before. Anyway, it's all about the pictures. This woman is clearly unconscious, bottom of the pool, and here's the coach going up to get her. And then the second picture is the coach pushing off the bottom of the pool, pulling her up. She's limp. She's out. The swimmer is. Wild.
That is terrifying.
Isn't it? I totally agree.
You've given me something new to worry about at the pool when I take my children. But, I mean, if this is the second time, I feel for her. She's probably thinking, can I keep doing this?
Yeah, exactly. Ugh. Exactly. And she's an Olympian, right? So, you know, she's, you know, world best in her sport, and yet it gets to her because holding your breath underwater for 2 minutes is hard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyway. Jeez.
Anyway, so there you go. There you go. Not really make me smile, but holy cow, look at this. But,
yeah, and also a thank goodness, right?
Right, exactly.
Someone was paying attention.
Totally. All right, and with that, I do believe we are done. Kimberly and I are back tomorrow, Economics on Tap. We'll do the YouTube live stream. We'll do the Discord, 6:30 Eastern, 3:30 Pacific. Join us for news, game, drinks, all the usual Friday stuff.
And please keep sending us your thoughts or questions. Our email is makemesmart@marketplace.org, or you can leave us a message at 508-UB-SMART.
Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Olivia Zhao is our intern. Today's episode was engineered by Charlton Thorpe. Amy Scott stepped in to help us out, for which we are truly grateful, Ms. Scott. Thank you.
Happy to do so. Bridget Bodner is the senior producer. The director of On Demand is Donna Tam.
Saw everybody in person today, by the way. We had a little gathering here at Marketplace.
Oh, yeah. You had a happy
kind of wild
hour.
A little bizarre having all you people in my office that's been abandoned for 2 years.
I bet.
It's very bizarre. Welcome, though. It was nice, but it was weird.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.